Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
How we doing? Happy Tuesday. It's your good friend Patrick O'Dowd here with his buddy David Ungar, the lawyer himself, back for the first time in a long time to bring you another edition of the Four Corners podcast. Four Corners is part of the Chair Shot Radio Network here on thechairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
And Dave and I are here to cover at least two corners of the sports world today, maybe a few more. We got about 30 minutes with you to chat it all up. But we're going to start today. Dave, first of all, how are you, man? How you been?
Oh, good? Pretty good. Yeah. I mean, weather's been nice out here. Kind of went back into the high 60s, 70s, that sort of thing. So it's warming up out here, but not too fast. And everything's trucking right along, man. Going all right.
Yeah, March has kind of done the opposite of the old adage of in like a lion, out like a lamb. It's been in like, it's out like a lion at this point, as we are still dealing with 40 degree weather over here in New England.
Yeah.
Oh, which I don't like. I don't like it. No, sir. I don't like it. But this time of year, late March, early April, kind of some of our favorite periods of sports, because you look at what's going on in the landscape. So you have, and we're going to talk hockey, because we haven't forgotten hockey talk, and we got to talk a little hockey because we both have big things going on with our teams. Alex Ovechkin is 6 goals away from history. The St. Louis Blues may be the hottest team in the National Hockey League right now. The NCAA tournament is going strong. Final Four coming up this weekend. And you have Major League Baseball opening day happened. And already the hyperbole. Here's my favorite thing about opening. This is going to be our brief baseball talk, Dave. My favorite thing about opening day and like the first couple of series of any season is the number of people who jump on the hyperbolic train to declare their season either dead or playoff bound based on 4 games in some cases, less than 4 games in most cases, unless you're the Cubs and the Dodgers. But like, I do not have high hopes for my St. Louis Cardinals this year, Dave. And so what do they do? They go out and win the first 2 games of the season over the Minnesota Twins. And all of a sudden the articles are coming. Maybe this could be a playoff team. No, stop it. Unless some talent takes an incredible step forward out of the farm system and some veterans find a form that they haven't had in a while. Looking at you, Nolan Arenado. Stop it. Just stop it. Cardinals don't have a pitching rotation that's deep at all. They're going to get crushed. But I mean, and Dave, for folks, Dave has already sent me one meme showing the Washington Nationals are out of playoff contention. That they played one game and it was over. Dave, the king of hyperbole, his team is always dead and out of it. Always and forever.
Well, I mean, the Nats are
just, always and forever.
Yeah, they're just since 2019. It's been rough. Nah, they'll be 500 this year. I mean, you know, I'm not worried about playing the Phillies. They're expected to beat up on these guys. So, I mean, who are the Cardinals playing? I forget who they started with.
The Twins, yeah. Minnesota Twins.
I think the bigger question is, do the Dodgers lose before like May? Something like that.
Who knows? They're the best team that money can buy. And the thing that, like, this is the problem. And we're actually seeing it in college basketball right now, too, because it's such a wild west for talent accrual that rich teams will get richer. Now, the thing that's been interesting about college basketball is that buying a team has not necessarily translated into deep Final Four runs. Like, it's not necessarily the case, as many teams, like most notably Kansas State, spend a boatload of money to bring in a roster. They didn't even make NCAA tournament. Indiana University spent the most out of any Big Ten school on a roster. They didn't make the NCAA tournament. So it's not like it's a guarantee, but it really is shown in Major League Baseball. Like, if you want somebody and the Dodgers want somebody, the Dodgers will always get him. Yeah, like, end of discussion.
Get a cap in place. They don't care about paying the tax. Fine.
Oh, right.
Here,
absolutely.
How much you want to tax us here? Take it out of petty cash, sort of thing.
Very much so.
Yeah.
College basketball is expected to change a little bit because revenue sharing is supposed to be getting officially introduced come next season. So that should offset the heavy donor piece of it all.
But like,
which is really where it is right now.
To back up what you're saying, I mean, the Dodgers have been doing this for years. Years. And but for the shortened 2020 season, they'd flamed out every time, right? They got to the World Series and they lost, or they would get eliminated in the divisional round by the Padres or something insane like that.
Right.
So they're not exactly, well, actually they are the poster child for the fact that you can't usually buy a championship. Of course, when you just win a championship and then you buy all these extra pieces and you don't lose anything, it's like, well, there you go.
I mean, it helps. So, but anyway, I just want to see a good product on the field from multiple teams. I want to see good games, and it's hard to do that. Like, you know, the Phillies are going to be the Phillies. You know, the Dodgers are going to be the Dodgers. The Yankees scored 20 runs yesterday.
They scored just the first team in history to hit 3 home runs on the first 3 pitches.
Right. Like, it's obscene what their offense is. So we'll have to see how that goes moving out. But let's talk about the NHL. And Dave, I'm going to start with your Caps because they are one of 3 teams currently that have a little X next to their name because they have clinched a spot in the playoffs. So congratulations. They join Dallas and Winnipeg as the other 2 teams that have clinched playoff spots. It is March 30th as we record this. The Stanley Cup playoffs start on April 19th. So we really are into the home stretch of things. We are now on to the part of the season where, like, the graphic that NHL has is if the playoffs started today, who would be playing who? They've got clinching scenarios. Like, today, for example, the Carolina Hurricanes will clinch a playoff berth if they beat the Islanders in any fashion and Montreal loses to Florida in any fashion. Maple Leafs can clinch today if they defeat Anaheim in any fashion, and the Canadiens lose to the Panthers in any fashion. Like, that's it right now. If you had told me that my St. Louis Blues would be in playoff contention back when we were still firmly just on the hockey talk train, I would have called you insane. And yet here we are. Coaching change looks like it has really started to take effect with this team. They are playing great hockey right now. They have won 9 straight, and they just beat the Colorado Avalanche on Saturday in Colorado. They are by numbers alone, by wins alone, by win streaks alone, they are the hottest team. And it's not even close. The next closest is Tampa Bay, maybe with a Tampa Bay with a five game.
Vegas has got
There you go. Vegas was six. But you know who Vegas lost to in one of their last 10? I believe they lost and lose. Yeah. So I got to be honest, because of regional television, I can't watch my hockey team. What I see is that they keep winning, and that's exciting. They are currently in a points tie with Minnesota, but Minnesota is up in the win column by a game because they have fewer overtime matchups than the Blues. So they are up, both teams with 87 points. Vancouver and Calgary are the next two in line in the wild card over the West with 81 and 80 points respectively. Exciting time to be a St. Louis Blues fan, and I hope that this keeps up.
I think your boys are safe, man. That's a pretty good cushion, 6 points. And they're still jockeying for the first wild card. And also, I guess, can they catch Colorado? They can't really catch Colorado. I mean, they could, but no, your Blues, the coaching change has paid dividends. They're playing really, really good, solid foundational hockey. I mean, they thumped the Caps. I don't know if that was part of the streak or maybe that's when the streak began. They beat up on the Caps pretty well one game. So, yeah, you look at everything, and the Blues were just very, very, very quiet at the trade deadline. Didn't really do a whole lot.
Right.
But they've got a solid foundation.
Other thing, you know, 9 in a row, 10 of their last 11. They beat the Kings. And I'm just going to look because we're, like you said, we're coming up on the end of the season. We've got 7 games to play. They've got Detroit, Pittsburgh, Colorado all at home. Then they go to Winnipeg, go to Edmonton, go to Seattle, and then wrap up on home ice on the 15th of April against the Utah Hockey Club.
Yeah, the only thing with the Blues, and I'll ask you this, are you concerned they're peaking too soon?
Look, considering where they were, I don't care if they peak too soon. honestly, and if you remember the cup run, they just never stopped peaking. Like, they just kept winning, and it was insane to watch them do that. So, you know, I'd rather them be playing top-notch hockey going into the last 2.5 weeks of the season before we get to the Stanley Cup playoffs, because this team wasn't projected to make the Stanley Cup playoffs. Like, I was very down on this team. The firing of Berube had, and the changing of the guard, and I'm forgetting the guy's name, former Bruins coach.
Jim Montgomery.
Yes, Jim Montgomery has found something. So keep that. Don't lose it. I'm glad that, you know, the Boston ran out of patience with him because it's really, really good.
Boston ran
the
out
other
of
story
with everybody. That's their
well,
problem.
Well, that's kind of the nature of Boston in general. Like, there's just a general impatience there because you're like, we're the Bruins. We should win all the time. All right. Other big thing that is going on right now in the world of hockey, Alex Ovechkin, who back when we were hockey talking, not Four Corners, I was doubtful that Ovechkin had a chance to get Gretzky this season. Here we are, and it's going to be close. Now, the Caps are in the playoffs, which helps. But Alex Ovechkin, 6 goals away from breaking Gretzky's record of 894.
And there's a game that we all Capitals fans have circled on our calendar because it's the projected date that he'll do it, and it would come in Pittsburgh, which would be... I mean, what I you got trying to contemplate that, like what would I think the Penguins fans would be cool about it. I really do. And I have no doubt that they're, despite the rivalry, the Penguins fans are not like Philadelphia fans. You know, Penguins fans are mostly pretty classy about stuff. So if it happens there, great. If it happens before that, and there's projections, it could be in against the Islanders. None of these projections have him doing it at home, which is a little bit unfortunate, but it is what it is. But yeah, like, you know, you look at the Caps, they're in the playoffs. I think, you know, I like what I see from these guys. You know, they're standing right up there. They punched the defending champion squarely in the mouth earlier in the week, beat him 6-3, took the Jets to overtime, you know, didn't come through against Minnesota. And that was like, and I thought what Alex Ovechkin did with Marc-Andre Fleury after the game was really a cool touch. And Alex asked him, you sure not coming back for one more year? Those two have a long history there, but
Very classy, by the way, of Ovechkin.
It was. And he brought everybody, including the coach. And they did like a handshake line like it was the playoffs. And, I mean, you don't see that in the regular season. But it was going to be the last time that these two rivals were going to face each other. And I thought, yeah, that was very classy. But with the Caps, I think what I'm looking at, and with them, and this is interesting. I didn't realize UMass just lost in the Elite Eight of the Frozen Four.
Yeah, Western Michigan got them.
And I'm... And the reason I bring the Frozen Four up is because one of the best prospects the Caps have is Ryan Leonard, and he plays for Boston College, and they're going to play Denver today in the Elite Eight of the Frozen Four. And I got to kind of pull for Denver because I'm thinking to myself, if BC gets eliminated, you can get Ryan Leonard involved with the Caps, you know, right before the playoffs when he's already in the, and he's a difference maker. I watched this kid for a couple years, and he's going to be a real problem with that team in the playoffs. So, yeah, the Ovechkin story is the big thing in hockey right now. And it's great for the sport, you know, and this isn't just me being a homer. It's just great for the sport. You're drawing eyes on anytime a record that seems to be unbreakable is about to be broken. All, you know, that sport comes under the crucible, right? And that's what we've got right now with hockey. And as big hockey fans, we're like, yeah, the more national attention we can get on this, the better. So it'll be an interesting chase down the stretch. You're muted, buddy.
I was chastising PC Tunney for trying to taint the vote over in the Bandwagon Nerds chat. So, yeah, you know, I'm gonna vote against him on principle. My vote's gonna be X, Y, and Z because fuck Grok.
I do not
spell with the Grok. That's a different podcast.
I'm contemplating some ups, man. I gotta be real with you.
Nah, we'll get to it. We'll get to it later. Anyway. Let's I'm ready. I want Alex Ovechkin to do this now. I'm on board. I want to see it happen. I hope it does. It would be cool if it happens on the projected day, but what if it happened during the playoffs?
It won't count. The playoff goals.
Why does it not count?
Because the playoff goals
That's
don't
stupid.
Count.
It's still a season. It's still a season.
They've never counted
Whatever.
The playoffs.
So. It's fine. Whatever. Should happen during. It'll happen in the last home game of the
but
season.
But you do raise an interesting thing like, when the playoffs start, because it doesn't count, the pressure of the chase will come off and the pressure of, you know, actually winning the cup will replace that. So that'll be an interesting dynamic. And that's why I'm like with Ryan Leonard, man, if he wins a championship for BC and then comes in, it's like, well, he's already in that fucking frame of mind. Let the boy roll. So I like their chances. I love the fact they re-signed Chychrun to that big deal because he's been a real stud for them. So, and I think they re-signed Carberry for 4 years. So, hey man, give me a Caps Blues Stanley Cup final. I'll be thrilled with that.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. What else we're gonna have to wait and see is Dave's thoughts on the NCAA basketball tournament because we gotta take a quick commercial break. And so we come back. We're gonna actually look. We're not gonna do any talk about matchups because obviously, as we're recording this, two games in the Elite Eight still to be played. So we're not gonna do any picks or projections. But I do have an interesting little question. / conundrum I want to present to my good friend David Ungar. So stay tuned for that because it's going to be a great discussion. You're listening to Hockey Talk here. No, you're listening to the Four Corners podcast here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com. Bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Welcome back into the Four Corners podcast here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com. Patrick O'Dowd, David Ungar, talking to you about all things sports. Make sure you head over to prowrestlingtees.com/chairshot for any of your chair shot swag needs. We got them all. We hope you invest in us as much as we try to invest in you. Okay. I told you We're going to talk the NCAA tournament. Dave and I did an impromptu musical chairs with DJ from the Mindless Wrestling Pod the other day. That went up on Sunday. Give that a listen. But that was supposed to be, at the time, myself and PC Tunney reevaluating the field after the first two rounds of the tournament, looking at the Sweet 16, reshuffling our picks, all that fun stuff. That podcast did not happen. And I'm kind of okay it didn't, because this NCAA tournament has been interesting to me in the respect of, and you mentioned it before we went on air when we were sort of briefly talking about it. This tournament has basically gone pretty chalk all the way through. Up higher seeds, beating lower seeds, to the point, Dave, where the Elite Eight, save one matchup, was between a one seed and a two seed. The lone exception being the Texas Tech Florida matchup, which Texas Tech,
yeah,
and they were a three seed, yeah. Right? So it's not like it was that big of a stretch. But and Texas Tech lost a 10-point lead. Florida went on a 16-4 run to close the game and beat it. They are my pick. From the previous show, they are my pick to win the national title. I don't buy that anymore because, like, Duke just appears to be on a whole other level of basketball. And it's insane. But, as we talk today, there's two games left. Number one seed Auburn versus number two seed Michigan. Number one seed Michigan State. Number one seed Houston versus number two seed Tennessee. Which means that the Final Four is going to be all ones and twos. My question to you, Dave, is how do you prefer your NCAA tournament? Do you prefer sort of the scenario we have now? Or is the chaos of the Cinderella, the dream seed, is that your preference? Like, how do you like your tournament?
Kind of a hybrid, I guess, is the way I would say. I love the chaos in the early rounds and all the upsets going on in the early rounds. And you see the big seeds getting wiped out and that sort of thing. When we get right down to the Final Four, I really want that to be the best teams that there are. And while I love March Madness and I love the tournament, I mean, and one of the thing is anything can happen in one game, right? And that's the beauty of the tournament is you've got to be on your game how many games you got to win to win the championship? Five, I think.
Six. You got to win six in a row.
Yeah. So you've got to really, you can maybe afford a subpar game against a lower seed and get away with it. But, once you get to the end, you really can't. But for me, I want those best teams to be there. And of course, the counter argument is like, well, if they were the best team, they would win. And I've made that argument to people in the past myself. But I do love the upsets. I love the chaos. I mean, a team like George Mason getting to the Final Four that one year was, insane and just fantastic. So I kind of do like that, but I don't mind. Do I want to see a tournament where all the number ones make it? Probably not, because that's just like, well, that's too chalk. But, you're looking at this where it's all ones and twos. The question is, are these teams really that much better than everybody else? And at the end of the day, yeah, they kind of are. Duke is
they've not been challenged yet in this. This Duke team is playing like UConn did the previous 2 years, where their talent was just so overwhelmingly strong that you couldn't beat them. Like, they beat themselves. Like, that's how they lose. Cooper Flagg is going to make a ton of money. Malawach, their center, that dude is going to make a ton of money as a professional basketball player. They are unbelievable, and they reload. They don't rebuild.
This is why the Wizards need to win the draft this year.
I am very much of the mind and of the opinion that I want to see the best teams in college basketball playing it out to its conclusion. And the one, if you want to call it a drawback, but the one drawback to the one-and-done format of the tournament is that it does encourage that chaos, where sometimes the best team doesn't always make it to the finals. Purdue is a great example of that. Like, Purdue was a one seed a couple years ago, and they're one of the few one seeds or two seeds that have lost to a 16 or a 15. And I don't want to say I don't love this story. I love the charm and the story of a little guy underdog team pulling off the upset win. You talk Butler. Remember when Butler had those 2 years? That was a great story.
Winning. Yeah.
It literally made Brad Stevens the most desirable basketball coach in all of basketball, specifically in the state of Indiana. They keep trying to hire this dude, even though he now runs the fucking Celtics and is taking them to championships. Mm-hmm. Like, and Indiana is so delusional. They're like, well, why wouldn't he want to come home? Are you kidding me?
I mean,
like, you're going to go coach at the University of Indiana when you are running the Celtics and winning NBA titles?
Boston, Indianapolis. These things are not the same.
It's not even Indianapolis. It's Bloomington, Indiana. It's not even Indianapolis. It's Bloomington. It's not even. So, but I would be lying if I didn't say that the Sweet 16 games that we got this weekend, those are matchups that are worth seeing. Those are the best teams. And that's, you know, I hear this a lot from sports pundits that the first weekend, they want the upsets and the chaos, but the second weekend and beyond is for the best team. And I guess that's true.
Up to a point,
you know, any team, anything can happen up to a point, but you know, there's a very real chance that we have all four number one seeds advance. I hope not.
Has that ever happened?
I'm sure it has some because, and I will say this for now, you know, and it'll be interesting to see how this changes once revenue sharing kicks into place. I know it's going to balance out conferences a little bit versus NIL. But I also love that the men's NCAA tournament hasn't completely fallen into what the women's NCAA tournament is, where it really is 8 to 10 programs that are just significantly better than anybody else in women's college basketball. You know, UCLA, USC, Tennessee, UConn, Oklahoma, South Carolina. These are the big dogs of the big dogs in women's college basketball. And the games aren't close over there. Like UConn in their first round game was up by 51 points at halftime. At halftime. Who wants to watch that? That's not fun. And we saw a lot of that in the first, like a lot of blowouts in the first couple of rounds.
Like with the women's tournament, you rarely get those big upsets. I mean, every year in the men's tournament, you get a couple. You rarely get anything.
But this year we really didn't.
Yeah.
The lowest seed in the Sweet 16 was what, a 6 seed? I think. I'm actually going to take a look real quick because Maryland was a 4. Kentucky was a 3. And they got dog walked by Tennessee, which was surprising to me because that matchup with Tennessee I thought was going to be interesting because Kentucky beat Tennessee twice. So I was a little surprised by that. But let's look at this bracket. So in the Sweet 16, Michigan was a 5 seed. Ole Miss and BYU were 6 seed. Those were
Arkansas was a 10.
Your low seeds. What?
Arkansas was a 10.
Oh, you're right. Who did Arkansas lose to?
Texas. They probably should have beat Texas.
Oh, I didn't scroll all the way down. You're right. Arkansas was it. And even Arkansas, it was a 10 seed kind of a name only. They're a team that didn't play to their talent. So
that dangerous 10 seed. Then the Calipari's are.
Yes. Yeah. And I think everybody just needed a reset. Calipari from Kentucky, Kentucky from Calipari. And, you know, it's going to work really well with Mark Pope over there in Kentucky. I think they're going to be just fine. But I will say this. We had great basketball Thursday and Friday for the most part in the Sweet 16 round. And these Elite Eight games have been good as well. There's been one truly great Elite Eight game. But, like, and I'll be interested to see how this shakes out with the Final Four. But ones and twos, there's a reason they're ones and twos. They've earned it, and those are the best teams in college basketball. So the committee, at the end of the day, for everybody's whining and complaining, it would seem that the committee got it right, that the committee knew what they were doing and picked who they needed to pick. So with all that being said, Dave, it'll be time. It's time for us to bring this episode of the Four Corners Podcast to a close. Before we get out of here, tell everybody where they can find you on the socials and on the Chair Shot Radio Network.
Yeah, you can find me on X at Attitude Ag, that is at Attitude AGG, Facebook.com/Attitude of Aggression, and at Attitude of Aggression, all one word, on Instagram and Threads.
You can find me on most of your social media platforms at Wrestling Realist. That is at WrestlingRealist. Make sure that you check out the episode of Musical Chairs that we did with DJ. A lot of fun, different kind of discussion where we argue about whether or not basically good music is still being made. If music is in a decline is the question. And I will argue till I die that no, it's not. It's just not music that old bastards like us listen to. And we need to understand that what we like isn't what other generations like. And that doesn't mean it's bad. It just means it's different. There's great musicianship going on right now. And you need to pay attention to it. Give Sabrina Carpenter some credit. All right.
So what you're saying is
that's going to do it.
Fuck them kids.
No, I'm saying fuck you old bastards for shaking your fist at clouds and saying stupid things like nobody's ever going to figure out how to do something revolutionary with a guitar, Dave.
I stand by that.
I'm wrapping the show with this. You can't say there aren't going to be any more geniuses because you don't know when the next genius is going to come. That is the point. We didn't know when the Beatles showed up, that the Beatles were going to show up. We didn't know that Jimi Hendrix was going to be Jimi Hendrix until Jimi Hendrix showed up. You don't know who the next one is. It's going to be a thing. Anyway, it has nothing to do with sports. We're going to get out of here. Thank you, everyone, for listening to this week's edition of the Four Corners Podcast. We will catch you next week where we will be able to reflect on some more hockey action. Maybe we'll talk a little more baseball because we'll have a few more games under the belt and the Cardinals can return to reality and suck like we fully expect them to. And the Dodgers will be undefeated. Yeah. All of that will be true. Thank you, everyone, for listening. This has been the Four Corners Podcast here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply.